Hello, podcast listeners, and welcome to another episode of Living Well with Kathleen Saunders, your weekly podcast where we discuss the financial, physical, spiritual, and social well-being of everyday people like you and me. The information shared in this show is for general information purposes only and should not be used to make any personal changes to your lifestyle or health without consulting the appropriate financial, medical, or healthcare professionals. On January the 20th, 2021, at the inauguration ceremony of the US President Joe Biden and US Vice President Kamala Harris, the most memorable moment for me was when Amanda Gorman read her now very famous poem, The Hill We Climb. This young writer stood before a crowd of many people and was watched on TV by thousands more. A poem for such a time as that moment that made all America and the world reflect on the hill we climb. Today, the privilege is mine to have a conversation with an up-and-coming young writer, Jamila Mills Smith. Jamila is a Canadian of Jamaican descent. She holds a bachelor's degree in marketing and lives in Toronto, Ontario. She loves all forms of storytelling and weaves tales that teach kids they are the protagonists of their own stories. So hello, Jamila. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. You know, Jamila, I am so excited to hear you share your journey and just looking forward to hear you share what inspired you into the world of writing.
Oh, well, I love to talk, so I'm glad to be a guest.
Awesome.
But I've always loved to write. I was a big reader growing up. Like, my parents are always telling people how much I was reading and how I started reading so early. And I used to write little short stories growing up, but I never took it seriously until my third year of college. I was kind of going through a little mental situation, and I was like, what do I really want to do? Because I really had to self-assess and be like, okay, I'm not sure if I'm happy with what I'm doing. So let me see what makes me happy. And it was storytelling. It's all forms of storytelling. If it's music or movies or TV or writing. And I'm like, I love to write. I used to do it all the time. So why don't I just try writing again? And then New Year's Eve, after going to church with my family on the way back home, I like the thought of a book, like the plot for a book just popped into my head. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's such a good idea. Someone should write that. And then I'm like, well, why don't I just write that? So literally the next day I just started doing research and I started writing.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. So, you know, you talked about research. What sort of research do you actually do when you're going to write a book?
Well, for this one, it had a lot to do with Egyptian mythology and a certain type of witchcraft, which I don't believe in, but I thought it'd be good to tie it in because it's a Jamaican element. It's called Obia.
Okay.
I did lots of research. I just wanted to make it as accurate as possible, but again, this is fiction, right? So it's just meant to be like fantastical, like it's a world you can escape to, but it's fictional, right? So I just wanted to make it a world other than this one. It has to be so elaborate and so believable that you would never think that it's fake. And so to do that, I wanted to do as much research as possible to make it as real as possible. So I think I did about a week or two of research. Like, I have a whole Google Doc of just Egyptian mythology. And then I have research on Nanny Maroon, who's like a big Jamaican figure. I have research on Obia witchcraft. I have research on the Maroons in Jamaica. I have so much research. And then I have like a separate doc that tries to create the storylines for these characters based on my research. So I try to make it as extensive and realistic as possible.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. So this book, Obia, was that your first book that you wrote?
So it's called Bastet's Legacy. This is my first novel. It's the first in what's going to be a trilogy series, and I'm actually working on the second one right now, slowly but surely, just because I think I did rush myself with the first one. But this is my first novel, fully fledged novel, and first published novel.
Oh, awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's quite an accomplishment. So I just wanted to go back on the book that you said the plot for the first book that you wrote when you were coming home from church that evening. What was the title? Did that book come into fruition? Did you actually turn that into the book?
Yes, that's the book that I made, but I didn't have a title until I didn't have a title until I was probably like 3/4 of the way through. I just did not know what I wanted to name it. Mm-hmm. It's called Bastet's Legacy, and I'm happy with the title now, but at the beginning I'm like, what's a good name to encompass this whole world that I'm about to create? Because it's not just going to be one book, it's going to be three, and it's going to be a world within a world. It's basically like a Harry Potter situation where there's this whole world incorporated into the human world that we know today that no one knows about, that affects us all, but we don't know about it, you know?
So you like, yeah. So the majority of your writing so far is going to, it's all fiction.
Yeah, I'm just gonna commit to young adult fiction. Maybe one day I'll do a book of essays. I would like to do that. That'd be interesting. But I personally like young adult fiction. That's the genre I've always liked. Even when I was a kid, I was reading young adults, even though it wasn't like my age bracket yet. And I still read young adult fiction. It's just what I enjoy. And I just imagine what it would be like to have someone like me writing for someone like me at that age. And I would have really appreciated that. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm still learning. You know, this is my first book and it's not the best, in my opinion, because I'm a perfectionist. I think it could be better. But I'm learning. So it's going to get better with time. And it's going to be a series of work that will truly represent kids like me, not necessarily just little Black girls, but any girl of color, any girl who has the same mindset as the characters I write about, you know? So that's what I want to commit to.
Awesome. That sounds great. Good for you. So, you know, when you're writing and you're thinking about characters and you're thinking about the scene and what you're going to write, where do you draw your inspiration from?
Do you mean for actually writing the story? Mm-hmm. Well, when I first started writing, I just started to write. But then I realized I kind of needed some sort of structure. So I liked what I had written, but then I'm like, okay, I don't know where to go from here. So I got some post-it notes and like one of those Bristol boards from the dollar store and just started to write what I had written so far and then write ideas for the rest of the book. And then I had the post-it notes along the Bristol board and it was the plot of the book. Okay. And so that's what I did again for the second book, but it's kind of doing the same thing that I did in the first book. Like I've written the first few post-it notes, but now I'm like, okay, I don't know what's going to go in the middle here. Like I have a general idea of where the book is going to go, but it's some of the in-between bits that I'm not quite sure what's going to happen yet. Okay. And sometimes I tend to psych myself out and make myself anxious because I want it to be really good, but I'm like, oh, I don't know what to write here to actually make it good. But whatever gets me inspired is usually another movie, another TV show, or another book that's just so fantastical. It just inspires me to write. It's not necessarily me emulating what I'm looking at, but it just inspires me to write. And usually writing in the morning is best for me. That's unfortunately not possible for me because I work basically every day, but when I do, I find that I have better stories in the morning.
Oh, is that right? That's the better time for you to get all your inspiration. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome. So listening to you, in your voice you can tell, say that you're young and you've already written your first book. So would you mind sharing, you don't have to tell us your exact age, but what age group are you in?
I'm in my early 20s, yeah.
And that's awesome. So, you know, you're definitely some inspiration for any young person listening today. If they have a passion in writing, that they should just go ahead and pursue that.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Do you have any mentors when it comes to writing?
Well, I went to a writing workshop at this public library before COVID, and I met 4 people that I really admire, and I have some emails that I spoke to them about, like self-publishing or traditional publishing, because I was not quite sure whether I wanted to do the traditional publishing route or go self-publishing, and I eventually did self-publishing. But they're all Black female authors like me. Some of them did traditional publishing, some of them self-published, but just hearing them speak was very inspiring, because it's like they just, they did it, you know, they wanted to write something and they did. And even if no one reads it, which honestly, like my genre for this particular book is very niche, so not everyone is going to, but some people will, and some people will like it. And that's all that matters. And that's all that they cared about, that some people will like it, you know. And when you have a good story and you have a good writing style, that's all that matters. You know, it's you don't need to care about whether it's going to be the next Harry Potter or the next big, like, bestseller, New York Times bestseller, as long as you know what's good. That's all that matters, that's, you know, right, and just right. going for it.
But, you know, I'm sure you're going to get there anyway, Jamila. I'm sure you'll get there. Definitely.
I appreciate that. I mean, that's the goal. And I know that as I continue with my writing journey, I'm going to get better and better, find my writing style. But I just also personally, I am in my early 20s. So I tend to doubt myself and second guess myself. And I think that kind of gets under me, like it kind of undermines me a little bit. So just remembering them and their journey, and just remembering that no process and no progress is linear, you know. Everyone has their own path, and it's going to have some bumps in the roads. It's going to be a roller coaster of a ride. It's not going to be just one straight drive down the road. So
that is absolutely true.
Yeah. So I just have to remember that and not second guess myself. Just do it, you know.
Glad you have your thinking on that path. So when I asked you about a mentor, this is exactly what I meant. Do you have anyone that you can go and share and maybe bring a thought to them and get their opinion on what they think about something that you're writing or struggling with?
I'm kind of one of those people who doesn't like to share what I'm writing until it's done and dusted. When I was talking to those four people in the writing industry that I met at that workshop, I mean, I was just asking them more about what their opinion was about self-publishing and traditional publishing. I didn't ask them about personally what I had written. I mean, you know, it's just personally something... it's hard to say, like, if I think it's good, then I'll just continue with it, because I have a very fantastical and flouncy way of writing. I'm kind of a perfectionist, so when I think it's good, then I know it's good, you know.
That's your work, so you don't look to anyone to critique your work. Your work is good enough. If it's good enough for you, then that's it, it's good enough.
Yeah, sort of. But then again, I always go back and second guess and like self-correct and stuff. So that's why having an editor is great. I had a Jamaican editor actually for the first book, and it was nice hearing her input. Like, she didn't just edit for grammatical errors and context. She edited and gave her insight. And I'm like, oh, that's actually a good idea. Let me change that. So that was nice. I might probably do that this time around, because I intend to go with the traditional publisher for the second novel of the trilogy series. Probably going to talk to one of those four people that I met and ask them for their input as I go along, just because I want to make this one much better than the first.
I hear you, of course, always improving from book to book. So I hear you keep talking about self-publishing and traditional publishing. Can you break that down and explain to us what the difference is?
Well, I didn't know, because I'm in Canada, right? So the market's a little bit different from everywhere else. But our major book store and bookseller here is Indigo Chapters. And I didn't know this, but they actually don't sell self-published books. And so I was like, oh, I don't know if I can do that then. But they will sell them they will sell it only if there is an affiliate company that is in the industry. And so there was a self-publishing company that contacted me like when COVID just started, and they had a promotion going on, and it was specifically for Canadian authors. And so I decided to go with them, and I thought, oh, this is good, because my book will be in Indigo. Unfortunately, it's only online, it won't be in physical bookstores. But that is something that I didn't know, that Indigo Chapters does not sell self-published books. And another thing, when you go with a traditional publisher, it's good to get a literary agent, because, and also someone who's interested in your genre. You're not just going to go to anyone, because if someone is a literary agent and mostly works with nonfiction based in science, they're not going to want your book based on, you know, Egyptian mythology fiction, you know. You're going to want to go to someone who's interested in your genre, and then they can connect you to traditional publishers. But I don't know much about that is something I'm going to learn as I go on the journey with this second book, because I intend to do that. And then also I'm hoping republish the first book as an edited version with the chosen publisher that I go with, whoever I sign with. But with self-publishing, it's the adage really goes that you get more money, you get more ownership and royalties, and you get more freedom. With a traditional publisher, you don't own the rights to your book, you don't get as much money,
Oh, wow.
but you would have more power behind you with a
Okay.
traditional publisher. So it's having, you have to kind of juggle that. And so I decided to go with a self-publishing company. And I don't have as much power as I do, as I did. And I spent all the money to make it happen, but it's out there, and I'm glad that it's out there and I have full ownership of it. But I do want to get more eyes on this because I believe in its potential. So I'm deciding to go with a traditional publisher for that reason for the next few books.
Okay, awesome. That's really great to hear. All right,
Thank
so
you.
when writing fiction, how do you select go about selecting the names of your characters?
I usually research names that I think would fit the like the vibe of the characters, like Jamila. I just picked her name because it's my name.
Okay.
But yeah. I don't know, like Nellie, like one of the characters, her name is Nellie. She's Jamila's aunt. Nellie just seems like a practical name. Lonnie is another character in the book. She's also very practical. She's got a little sass to her. I thought that would be perfect. There's another character who's very like a very nosy church mother. I feel like a lot of us know those types of people, especially in the Black community. I named her Claudel, and that's something I feel like Dell or Claudette, that's a very Jamaican church lady name. So I'm, oh, that's perfect. But like for like the other characters, like the characters that are like going to be in the older time periods, like I researched African names, I researched Jamaican names that would be good for it, like or even like the high school, like I named the high school that she goes to Brimmer Hall, which is actually the name of a plantation in the South in America. And I thought that'd be good because it's very reflective of the situation she's being put into, one where she doesn't want to be there, she has to be there, and it's not really helping her. The how the old saying goes, the prison, sorry, the school to prison pipeline. Kind of like that sometimes, especially in lower income neighborhoods in Toronto and in Jane and Finch area, it can be like that sometimes with excessive punishments and stuff for Black kids and stuff like that. So it could be like that. So I thought, oh, let's find a name that kind of gives that vibe. So I picked that, or even like names for the characters that reflect like their power, their gifts from God, like stuff like that. So I researched names for that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, that's a good way to do it. How long did it take you to write your first novel?
Well, this first book took a year and 4 months,
Oh,
and
wow.
everyone's telling me that's very quick, and I'm like, is it really? But because I was in school full time and working at the same time, so I'm like, I feel like I took so long because I barely got to write. But apparently, people are like, people can take years to write their first novel. I'm like, well, maybe I should have, because then it would have been perfect, perfect. Because I go back and read, and I'm like, oh, I should have changed that. Oh, I wish I could have changed that and stuff. So I'm deciding this year to not let myself finish before a year and a half with this second book, because I really do want to make it perfect. And I'm in the same position of not having much time because, again, I work almost every day. I have two jobs, but I want to really not rush myself with this. I want to make it perfect. And in the year and a half that I'm writing this book, I can find a literary agent or a traditional publisher that will sign me and hopefully take me on this journey with them. So yeah, that's my hope. But
That's good.
yeah, I this is my first novel, so I can't really give a decent gauge of how long it takes me to write a book because this is my first one. But it took a year and 4 months for this one.
Okay. So can you just give us a little intro to that book for someone who is listening to this podcast that you might tweak their interest to, go out and purchase your book?
Sure. So yeah, Jamila Freeman, this is the main character. She's just your, average teenager. She gets good grades, she hangs out with her friends, and she's very practical. She believes in facts and logics, and she doesn't believe in like myths or fairy tales. But then all of a sudden she discovers she's a Bastet. She comes from this long line of women that's descended from this Egyptian cat goddess. And now all of a sudden everything's changed. Nothing is the same. And she has to figure out what this means. All of a sudden she has superpowers and she has to be like, oh, that's a thing now. That's not just a fairy tale or a story in a book. And then she discovers that not only does she have powers, but this ancient cult is hunting her down because of her powers. And she has to get help from her aunt and her family friend, Lonnie, to help her navigate this new reality, navigate this new normal and her powers so she can protect herself. She has to, she doesn't have time to be like slow with this. She has to be quick and efficient because her very life is on the line. So she has to figure out if she's strong enough to handle this because she's never dealt with anything like this before, or will she be put in danger because she doubted herself.
Oh wow, okay, interesting. Definitely sounds like a read if you're into fiction and that style of writing. Awesome, really good.
Thank you.
Tell me something, you know, this is your first book that you've written. Are you able to see the age bracket of people that are actually purchasing your book?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I put it in the young adult fiction genre, okay, and bracket, but I will say, trigger warning for all listeners, there are mentions of sexual abuse, racism, and rape in the book. And even though it's young adult, there are some people who would not be comfortable with their children reading that. So I would say ages 16 or even maybe 15, but I would prefer 16 to 20 to read this novel, just because not everyone is fully aware of the spectrum of abuse and racism and rape. Not everyone is fully able to understand or comprehend it. And I don't want to be someone who like triggers them or sets them up to be like affected negatively in this sense. So I just want to make it aware for everyone, if you've been a victim of any of these sorts of abuses, that is prevalent in the book. It's going to be prevalent in the next few books. So just to make yourself aware, mm-hmm. if you can handle that, that's great. It's honestly setting the reader up for something greater in the second and third book. But I do want to make readers and listeners aware that that's happening. If you cannot handle that, do not read it. I would love you to, but I don't want to affect your progress or your growth in your journey whatsoever. Right. So I just wanted to make that aware.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. So anyone that's listening, they have a heads up basically what the book is about. So back to this trilogy that you're writing. So you kind of have an idea how the other two books are going to pan out, right? You don't have write that on scrap paper, like when the ideas come to you. Yeah, how does that work?
I have a book that my mom bought me from Indigo Chapters that's like my notebook for writing. I'll just write it down in little bursts, mm-hmm. my ideas. The second book, I have more of an idea. It's still like the in-between bits. I'm not quite sure what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And the third book, I just have a general idea of what the ending is going to be like, but I have no idea what the beginning or the middle is going to be like. So that's something that's probably going to come to me as I write the second book. As I'm writing the second book, I'm very, very excited for where it's going.
I was just going to ask you that. Do you get excited as you're writing? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm the entire book for this second book is going to really be the sequel to the trauma that Jamila experiences. Mm-hmm. And I'm using a metaphor, mm-hmm. that you don't realize is a metaphor. Well, it is a metaphor, but you don't realize how much it's affecting her. And she can't seem to separate metaphor from reality because of her trauma. Wow. And I am very excited for where it's going, just because I connect to it very much. It's okay. Very personal to me, and I feel like a lot of people can relate to it. But I feel like even in the trauma that people may feel, they will get some healing from it, because they'll be like, oh, wow, she's going through it, and she's just like me, but she's going to come out better on the other side. So I'm very excited about it.
Okay, good. So I know this is your first novel, but you've been writing for some time. Do you find writing healing, therapeutic?
I do. Whenever I go through something bad, I usually actually write poems and then I'll just read it out aloud. Writing it down is just easy, but reading it out aloud is when I feel all the emotions again. And it's very cathartic. Sometimes it doesn't help, but it, like to make me feel better, but it helps to get it out. So I do find that that does help in some sense. Even if I'm writing it on the notes app on my phone in some way, it just to get it out
Just to
is
get it
helpful.
out, right? Yeah, that's very healing, I find. Even if you're not writing a book, just, even keeping a simple journal is very healing and helpful. The other question I wanted to ask you just mentioned that you also wrote some poems. Would you publish any of your poems, do you think?
Oh, I have been asked that. I don't know because, again, they're very personal. They follow themes. They do. The my best ones are the ones that are most personal to me, and I'm still kind of processing that trauma. So I'm not even sure if that's something I consider at this point, or if I'm comfortable with anyone seeing that side of me right now. But I do know that it's beautiful, and it could help someone just to know that they're not alone in what they're feeling. But right now, I need to focus on me and making sure I'm good before I even do that.
Totally understand. All right. So from the books that you have written, well, it's just the one book. What part of the writing journey was most challenging for you when you were writing that book?
Most challenging
Was there any area that you found, difficult to write?
for me, honestly, I thought it was just too short. I don't know why. I thought, oh, it should be around 400 pages because every book I've read that's kind of in my genre is around that long. And then when I got to it and it was published and everything, and they chose the fonts and everything, they're like, actually, this is very, very long. Like, you wrote a lot. And I'm like, oh. So I think I just was, again, doubting and second guessing myself and expecting myself to have these big standards, but I should have just written what I thought was good instead of having these expectations in place, because it might have compromised the goodness of my writing, so I would say that having some high expectations for myself instead of just writing. Like the other day, I wrote in the morning and I wrote a page, and I had this goal for myself to write a page a day, but again, I'm busy and I get tired and I get discouraged because I don't want to write because I'm so tired. I just want to sleep. And then the other day I wrote and I'm like, why was I putting it off for so long? This was so easy, and it's these expectations I set for myself when I should just write when I feel like it and not have expectations for myself and standards that only I am putting in place for myself, which might be impeding my growth,
Then it's quite funny that you say that, because my next question for you was, how often do you write and how many hours do you write when you write?
Usually, well, when I first started writing, I would literally write for an entire day if I had a day off, or just a page in a day. But lately, of course, I'm working on the time. If I can write a page a day, I'm lucky. And a page I can finish in a half hour. That does not take me long. But if putting it off and like second guessing myself, a single page could take me 2 hours. It depends on when I'm really in the mood or not setting myself up to fail, So the other day I wrote a page and it took me 20 minutes. It did not take me long at all. And I'm like,
Not at
wow,
all.
I really made myself anxious for no reason. Being a procrastinator can really set you up to fail, but it depends, honestly.
Okay, I hear you. So, what advice? We've got some up and coming young people that are interested in writing. What one a piece of advice would you share with them that has helped you in writing or hasn't helped you? What one piece of advice would you like to share with an up and coming writer?
One piece of advice.
Well, if you have two, three, go right ahead.
I have a few.
Go right ahead.
First things first, I would say the most important is don't set yourself up to fail with expectations only your inner critic hold. You have expectations for yourself, and then when you don't meet them, your inner critic is beating yourself up from the inside. But that doesn't do anything to help your story. Worrying won't add a single moment to your life. It's
True.
not going to suddenly make those pages written if you just beat yourself up for not writing them. Just try. Just start writing. Write down a few pages on a few post-its to get your thoughts together, and then the words will come together. And even if they don't, that's fine. It'll happen. So that's something. Don't set yourself up for high expectations that only your inner critic holds for you. That's one piece of advice I would say. Another is, like, depending on if you want to do self-publishing or traditional publishing, whatever you do, whichever option you pick, even if you legally do not own the rights to your book, or even if no one reads, not as many people read your work as you would like, you still created something and you did it. No one else could have done it the way you did it. And even if someone else owns it, even if you don't get as much money, nothing would have happened unless it weren't for you starting with that piece of paper or that button on the typewriter or that button on the laptop. Nothing would have happened unless you started it. And that idea came from you. So it all starts with you at the end of the day. Nothing, no one owns it except for you, because you own your own thoughts and ideas and stories. So take ownership in that and take pride in that.
That's so very true. That's good advice. That's really good advice. Do you, you know, I know you say that you write mostly when you have time. Have you ever encountered writer's block?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Even just recently, I maybe not writer's block, because maybe I was just being procrastinating and stuff, but I didn't write for 2 weeks because I couldn't think of anything. But then when I sat down on the laptop, it just flowed out of nowhere. So I'm like, did I really have writer's block, or was I just procrastinating? But even in the first book, when I was writing it, I would be sitting in front of my laptop and I had no idea what to write. That happens often. It's very frustrating, because it's just like, oh, I just want to write something. Right. You know, I'm here. I got time.
So when that happens, do you, you know, do anything to try and stimulate thoughts to go to come to you? Do you, like, maybe go in on a walk, or how do you handle that? Or you just sit there and doodle or something? How do you do that?
When I first started writing, I lived in my own basement apartment by the lakeshore. So I would go for walks often, and I'd listen to music. I love music. I had my own playlist for writing and everything. Or I'd even watch a movie. Honestly, that inspires me. Like, I wouldn't think to, but then I'd be watching Harry Potter when it plays, and then I'd be inspired and I'd just start writing, you know? Now I'm trying to not force it, because there's so many other things in life I want to do. And if I get inspired and I get the inspiration to write, then I'll do it. But if I have writer's block, I'm not going to force myself to, because I only have a certain amount of time. And if I cannot think of anything in the time that I have, then it's not the right time.
Okay.
So that's the route I'm trying to take this time around.
Mm-hmm. And since you're a writer, do you have any authors that whose books that you enjoy, that inspires you?
Yes. Three, actually. Okay. There's this one author, her name is, or I think they're, I'm not quite sure what their pronouns are, but Rivers Solomon. And they just published a book with David Diggs and a few other people called The Deep. And it is so, so good. It was the first time that I've seen trauma and generational Black trauma displayed in a fiction fantasy world in such a different way. I was so blown away. I'd never read any of their works before. Mm-hmm. And I kept hearing about this person, River Solomon, and so I decided to pick up their newest book. Well, not pick up, because I had to do it online because of COVID. I couldn't go to the library. And I was amazed. I was blown away. I highly recommend for all the listeners watching, if you can get a copy of The Deep, definitely pick that up. And their other works as well. I have yet to read their other works, but I'm very excited to read them. Another person, what's her name? She wrote this trilogy series. I'm going to look it up, actually, since we're on the phone. I didn't read this in my childhood years. I read this when I was a teenager. But I still think about this series all the time. The author is Colleen Hook. It's called the Tiger's Curse series. And it's the first time I ever read Indian mythology. I was big on Egyptian and Greek mythology growing up, and I still am to this day. But I had never read Indian mythology, and it was so good. And I still don't have the trilogy series for some reason, even though I've read it probably 1,000 times from the library. But that, the way she wrote it, and used Indian mythology to inspire her fiction work is how I wanted to emulate my work. And she did such an amazing job.
That's awesome. You have another one, did you say? Or was that just two?
Oh, yeah, I have another one. So sure. The other one that I love, 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 love is Yagi Yazi's book, Homegoing. It is one of my favorite books. It's hard to pick a favorite just because I've read so many, to be honest.
I bet, yeah.
But that one also, it's really interesting. That one, it follows two African girls in the era of slave trade, and it follows their lineage down until their ancestors meet. And it is just, I don't know how the author keeps track of these different timelines. I still find it difficult to write the different timelines in my novel, and she did it so marvelously. So definitely, for all the listeners watching, or listening, oh my gosh, no one's watching a podcast. For all the listeners listening in, Homegoing by Yagi Yazi is amazing. And she actually has a new book out that I have yet to pick up yet. I'm very excited to read it. But yes, definitely those three authors inspired me so much.
Oh, that's awesome. Great. We always need some inspiration, whether it be, from another author or so forth. You know, I saw this quote from Mark Twain. I don't know if you've ever heard it. It says, when all else fails, write what your heart tells you. You can't depend on your eyes when your imagination is out of focus.
Oh, wow. That's so nice. I like that.
Yeah, I thought that was neat. So is there anything else that you want to share and tell us about the world of writing? Because I know that's your passion right now. I can hear it in your voice. And, you know, I'm just enjoying hearing you share about your journey. When do you hope to have your second book out, part of the trilogy?
I don't want it to even be like halfway finished. Like I'm thinking next year to have a good portion of it, like end of next year.
Okay.
To have a good portion of it finished. I don't want to put too much of a time limit on it. And people can wait. People can wait for it. And obviously not the entire world knows about this book series. So, you know, hopefully it'll get more traction by then. So we'll see. But yes, hopefully by end of next year, I'll have a good portion of it done.
Awesome. That's really great. Well, you know, Jamila, I want to thank you so much for being my guest today and sharing about your book and how what inspired you to get into the world of writing and it being your passion and so forth. I know a lot of young listeners might be encouraged and inspired too to, you know, start writing more and just write. I hear also that you should write every day for a few minutes and then it will, you know, the ideas will just keep flowing. So that's some great advice and great tips that you've shared with us. And it's really good to hear how a young person is doing in the world of writing and progressing. And, you know, you're taking risk and you're doing it afraid and you're doing it, you know, in confidence. And, you know, that's really awesome. So I want to thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate you letting me come on your show. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Take care and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the show today. I hope you enjoy the topic and found something that you can apply to your own life. Don't forget to share this episode with your family and friends. And remember, live well daily.